can start selling, you know, Christmas stuff in November. I don't see why we can't do Christmas earlier and just see if we can just kind of move it. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Yeah, yeah, totally makes sense. You guys don't buy that, do you? So the idea is actually with all of our college students and all that, but since so many people travel, we wanted to do it before everybody left. And so I know last week I had like five different individuals come up to me and say, hey, I'm leaving this week. So I was like, great. So we moved it early so that you could be here. But they don't care. Sheesh. So, all right. So we're going to get started, actually. And I'm going to give you a small sermon, and then we are going to bring back some music, and we're going to light candles, and we're going to try to not burn the building down because we're only renters, so it doesn't benefit us if we burn it down. So, inside joke, sorry. All right, let's pray. Father God, we come before you right now. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, your mercy and your grace upon us. Father, it's every time I think about it, it blows my mind that you would send your son to die for us while we were still your enemies, while we were chasing after our own desires. And in the midst of that, you have rescued us. In your loving grace, you have touched each and every one of us to awaken us to your need, to the reality that without you, Father, life just doesn't make sense. That to die for our sins, not only to take away the punishment, but Father, that we no longer have to wrestle with the shame and the guilt. That Lord, that you are our rescuer, our Savior. And Lord, as we come and we celebrate you here every week, Father, we want it to be something in our hearts that just takes hold, that this is the way we live and the way we think, and especially during this season, Lord, as we think about your son being born, the fact that he would humble himself to become a man, that he would know our pains, our struggles, our temptations, that, Father, he would know all the things that we go through and yet without sin would die for us, total obedience to you, that he would become our high priest, that he would become the one who intercedes for us forever. And Father, that he would call us his brothers and sisters, that he is not ashamed of us. And so, Father, as we come and as we celebrate the birth of Christ, as we come and we celebrate all that you do for us, Lord, I ask that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, and that, Lord, as we do the candlelighting, that our lives would be a light, that it would represent your glory, that the way that we live would truly let people see the truth, that they would no longer live in darkness of understanding. And so, Father God, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to share with you guys one of the parts of the Christmas story that, to me, I really, really love. And to be honest, to me, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. That's the story here in Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes or cloths and laid in the manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angel praised God and sang, "Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Then the angel had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was laying in the manger. when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning about what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I love this story because this story has so many points in it that are so unique and so, I don't know, they're special to me. I mean, right off the bat, if you're looking at this, right off the bat here is the angels appear. And then when the angel appears and tells them this news, all of a sudden there's a heavenly host. This is like one of the first times ever in Scripture that this happens. I mean, when all the angels appear, there's other spots where people were able to see the heavenly host, but they didn't appear. This time the angels appear to the shepherds on the hill. There's like this huge thing. And in my mind, I have this curiosity, because Scripture doesn't tell us. And I have this curiosity. Was it one of those things where they're just like, they were so pumped? They just like, you know, there it is. Gabriel gets to tell them what's going on. And it's like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going, guys. You know, and they just, and so it's a spontaneous worship. I mean, that would be kind of cool if it was. Or was it one of those things that they knew all along? And it's like, here it comes. Okay. You know, we're practicing, you know, oh, we got practice again. It's another 200 years away, but we got to get together and practice, you know, because this is the big moment. This is when we all get to show up. I have no idea. We really don't know, but in reality, there's something going on with the angels because they're messengers. They're servants of God, and they've been given in order to be able to minister to us, to bring us messages throughout history. But what's really crazy about it is you think about it. This is the moment where they get to shout the glory of God to mankind. All the rest of the time, they're here, and we don't get to see them or interact with them. One day we will, but this is a moment where it's like, I don't know. And when you look at history and you look at the Scriptures, there is something that is actually spectacular about this and what happens, that the angels would appear to the shepherds. That's the other part of the story that's awesome. These are shepherds. These are stinky guys that are out there in the fields, sleeping out, you know, maybe under a tent, but most likely, if I know most guys, it's like, why bother? We're just got to pack it up and move it. So they're sleeping out underneath the stars, watching the sheep. And in many ways, shepherds, I mean, we look at shepherds now, and especially in Scripture, we go, oh, shepherds are, you know, they're pretty special because, you know, there's Jesus is our shepherd, and we're the sheep, and we grasp all that. But you realize that actually shepherds is a pretty lowly job. It's not an honored job. It wasn't an honored job then. And as these guys were up there, they're the ones that get the message. Ordinary men up on the hill, and all of a sudden an angel appears to them. And that's pretty darn cool. I love that about God. I love that God does not show up and go to the elite, because that's what we would do. He goes to ordinary people. And what's really cool about this too, is he goes to these shepherds and he's announcing the birth of the shepherd, of the one who's going to come and lead his people. These guys understand how sheep work, and they understand what it takes, and they understand all the stuff that goes into being able to protect and being able to make sure that they're well taken care of. And here comes Christ, the one who's going to do that for us spiritually. But what's really kind of cool, too, is a lot of people, a lot of theologians and people that have looked into this, believe that these are the shepherds that are actually watching the sheep that are destined to be offered a sacrifice at the temple. The temple had their own herd and their own shepherds that they took care of. And apparently this is where they were supposed to be at. So think about these shepherds. They're not just watching just sheep for some, you know, rich dude. They're watching sheep that are actually destined to go to the temple for sacrifice. And Jesus, who shows up, is the ultimate sacrifice. He's the one that all this foreshadows. Being able to tell that Christ is coming, the one who is going to be offered up for our sins. And so you got this whole scenario that's happening here. The angel showing up, the shepherds, the sheep, that's all that's happening here. And then they go into the town to see this thing that's happened. And they see Christ, and that's really cool. We get the whole manger scene and all that stuff, you know, which is awesome. And, you know, it's part of one of the reasons why we love this story and all the things that come together with it. But what gets me is this, is afterwards they go around and they tell all the people, hey, this is what's happened. I don't know about you guys, but you got to imagine what it would have been for some of those towns folks. Hey, you hear about those crazy shepherds? They came down off the hill last night, and they're like running around saying they'd seen angels. I mean, it had to be weird, right? I mean, because they're not like scholars. They're not like, they're not the, you know, the high priest. They're not even, you know, Pharisees. Where would they be anywhere near the privilege of being able to have the news like this? That there would be a baby, the Messiah, born. And that's what gets me, is the people were all amazed at it, but it says nothing, absolutely nothing about what they do with that information. I wonder how many times we hear or see or come across incredible stories of God, and we're amazed, but we do nothing about it. Where we look at it and go, oh, that's crazy, that's wild, that's awesome, and then we go on our way. I mean, if you think about it, isn't that a Christmas story? We hear it every year. I tell Sasha all the time, I don't like doing special services. I really don't. Special services are difficult. You do Easter, you do Christmas, and here it is, it's the same story. And I'm presenting this, you guys have heard this story before, you know? You hear it all the time. And the problem is as a speaker, as you get up here, you're like, ooh, I need to find something that's different. I need to find an angle. I need to be able to awaken you guys somehow. You know, where when it's all done, it's like, wow, that's really cool. I never thought about it that way before. You know, that's like a good compliment for a speaker, right? But it's the same story. It's the same story, and it happens over and over, and we celebrate it every year. And you know what? Because it's awesome. And it is cool, and it is God moving in history. We've been talking about the fullness of time. And this is the pinnacle of it. That Jesus would humble himself and become a man. That he'd live amongst us. That he would know our pains. He would know what it would be like to sweat and to be tired. He would know what it was like to work and experience joy. That he would know what it's like to be tempted. That he would know what it is like to run around and be rejected. He knows what it's like to be human. And yet he's the creator of all things. There is a part of that mystery there that is so beyond us. And we hear this story every year about Christmas and Jesus coming. It's the same story. But what do we do about it? We pause and we think and we reflect. We're in awe that God would do such a thing. But it ought to change us too. It ought to leave a mark. When we truly reflect on what God has done for us, it ought to change our perspective. It ought to change our behavior. It ought to motivate us to forgive others because God has forgiven us. It ought to motivate us to find grace in people because he's given us grace. It ought to motivate us to realize that there is a time, there's a fullness of time that Christ showed up, and there will be a fullness of time when it's all done too. That doesn't go on forever. It ought to give us hope to realize that we have a Savior that has overcome death. And if He has overcome death and He is for us, then who can be against us? It should make us steadfast and strong to be able to realize that, man, this is crazy, because of what Christ has done, I can boldly enter into the throne room. I can boldly go before God, the Creator of all things, and lay down my requests, lay down my feelings, and know that He loves me, and He hears me, and He cares for me. And I know that because of what He's done through His Son. See, the reality of the story is huge. And we go through Christmas, and Christmas is fun, and we celebrate all the different things in the midst of it. But there ought to be some place in our hearts where the story impacts us, that we're not just like the people that just stand in amazement, but it actually changes the way we think. I want you to take a moment and bow your head. I want you to reflect about your salvation experience. Christmas is about Christ coming to earth, becoming flesh. But what about the Christmas that happened in your heart, where Christ came to dwell in you? Give a moment to give Him praise and gratitude. Father God, I ask that You would fill us with the anticipation of that of the angels, that the excitement inside them, the joy of the things to come, we would burst forth in praise to who You are. And Father, that we cannot help but to tell others about the incredible things that You have done. That, Father God, that we would realize that though we are ordinary, we have witnessed something extraordinary. Father God, we praise You. We praise You for Your Son. We praise You for this redemption. We praise You that we have a hope and a future. And Lord, we just lift up those around us that haven't quite figured that out yet. We ask that this season, Lord, that You would give us opportunities to spread joy and peace. That, Father, Your peace would truly rest upon those that have Your favor. And so, Father, we give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a special. And as Jesse comes up here, Jesse is a hidden talent. And that's, I've talked to his parents about not putting him in the closet. But and as Jesse comes, there are some candles somewhere. I don't know where they've been put. Are they in the back still? Sweet. My candle's here. There, I'll take that one. Paul, is there candles back there in the back? Because I can't see nothing back there.
as the candles are being passed out, I want to share a quick word on the song that I'm going to share. It's called Shining, and it's about a contradiction in the Bible. Do I have your attention now? It's not really a contradiction. But you know, in Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." But in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, in John 1:4, we know that Jesus, it says that in him was life, and his life was the light of men. So I don't know what the real tradition of why we have candles in a candlelight service, but I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know, just as this candle, it looks different in every hand. It's got a little bit different wax on it. It's got a little bit different burn characteristics, but it's all the same chemical reaction. It's all the same flame. And as Christians, we're to bear no other light than Christ's light, his life in us. And you know, in 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So this song is just about us each bearing our own life, Christ's life. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Following him was life, eternal life. And as the Spirit, his life's the light of men. So therefore, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." For with Christ as light, we can shine before men as lights in this dark and desperate age. Lord, we want to shine, shine, shine. Yes, Lord, we want to shine, shine. Of men. So therefore, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." For with Christ as light, we shine before men as lights in this dark and desperate age. Lord, we want to shine, shine. Lord, we want to shine, shine. Yes, Lord, we just want to be shining, unmistakably shining, not just glowing but beaming and turning every eye to you. Yes, Lord, we just want to be shining, unmistakably shining, not just glowing but beaming and turning every eye to you. And for this we need to be burning, dangerously burning, burning so hot we're making no smoke till the earth is alive, alight with the lamp. Lamps of buildings of saints, all expressing the one, Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you.
He was a hidden talent. Sweet. We are we're going to light our candles. Sasha's turning off the real ones. boom, 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 I think. The worship team can come up here, too. Oh, no, you're good. I'm just going to... It's interesting in Scripture that there are a lot of different places that talks about being the light. In John, it talks about Jesus being the light that came into the world. And Jesus talks about us becoming the light. In Revelation, there's an interesting spot where in chapter 1, where John turns around and he sees Jesus walking through the candle stands and the stars. And he talks about the stars being the angels of the churches and the candles being the churches. And we've always done our lighting and thinking about who you are as an individual. You know, that we represent the light of Christ. And that is the glory of God. That is the reality that we have the truth, which takes us out of darkness. There's a lot of different things there that we grasp what it means to be the light. But I think in Revelation, it's really kind of interesting to think about us as a collective being the candle. That we as a church are a light. And so, as we do this, I want us to kind of reflect on the fact that where we're at individually, but also where are we at collectively? Are we being the light that we need to be in Missoula? Father God, we desire to honor you with everything. Lord, you have given us life, and you provide for us, and you have blessed us here. And even in the midst of our sorrows, we see where you are at work to bring it about, to build our character, our perseverance, our steadfastness. And so, Father God, you have called us to be light. You've told us not to hide it, but to put it up on the stand so that all can see. And so, Father, I ask that you would allow us to truly grasp the meaning of that, that the truth would live inside of us, that we would live by truth, that our actions would be the act of worship towards you. That, Father God, that you would help us to live in a way that others are attracted to it. And Father God, that you would be honored in all that we do, individually and collectively. That, Father, as a church, that we would set a standard of holiness and set a standard of love and grace for this community. And Father God, that you have called us to this. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Christ is the light, and he's given it to us, we're supposed to go and make disciples, passing that truth and that love to others.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder praise His holy name. Come thy divine.
Fall on your knees.
Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, know divine. Oh, when Christ was born, oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine.
In the silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright yon mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosting. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Love's pure light radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus.
Jesus, we thank you for your birth. We thank you that you are the light of the world. It calls us not to hide our light, but that it would live brightly through us. That the world would see such a burning desire and passion for the life of Christ and his people that the light would overwhelm the darkness. And the darkness would not know where to flee. Silent night, holy night. All is calm.
All is calm. All is bright round yon virgin mother and child.
Jesus. It's in your wonderful name. Amen.
And blow out your candles. Got a couple of quick announcements for you guys. So I had, as we were doing this, I actually had a flashback to my wedding. So our wedding was ridiculously long, and halfway through our wedding, we were doing a little candle lighting communion service, part of it. And Sasha had locked up her knees and she fainted. And I was holding on to her and she went forward into the candles.
Oh, no.
And her mom had to run up and save the veil and all that. So as we were sitting back there in the back singing songs, she had Eldon and she had a candle. And Eldon dropped something, so Hannah or Sasha leaned over to pick it up, and her hair went up in flames. So if you smell burned hair back there in the back, there's a little bit of crinkle. I love my wife. No, it's not bad enough that you would notice, but there is a smell. Hey, 2 weeks from now, after Christmas and before the New Year's, on the 29th, we're going to do a pizza party after church. And so after church, just all join us. So we're going to have a bunch of pizza. We're going to do pizza and have fun. And then anybody that wants to afterwards, we'll have some games and we'll goof off and play board games and that kind of thing. So pizza party coming up. Also, there's last chance or so to sign up for winter retreat. There's only a couple spots left. So if you've been hanging on because you're one of those people that's like, I have to procrastinate, otherwise my life is just not fulfilled, now is that time. So go ahead and sign up for the winter retreat. We